Welcome to the Upper Hand Podcast, where Chuck and Chris talk hand surgery.
We are two hand surgeons at Washington University in St. Louis, here to talk about all things hand surgery related, from technical to personal.
Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And thank you in advance for leaving a review and leaving a rating wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
I'm a little thrown off by your speaking first.
I know. It probably throws you off just a little bit, but, you know, we're not in our normal environment. We're actually traveling.
We've been traveling a lot. This is my, I think, fourth trip in the last month. What about you?
I think it's my second work trip in the last month. So we were filming recording our live episode in London, and now I went back and worked for a bit. I think you went back and worked for a day, and now we're in Providence.
We're in Providence for the AOA annual meeting, which has been pretty great so far.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. A lot of interesting talks, not the normal kind of orthopedic or hand surgery meeting, just because it gets into other issues, more societal and education-based.
Yeah, and that's why I like it. Leadership, a lot of DE&I efforts. And there was a great symposium on artificial intelligence this morning. So really, really good stuff. And the AOA probably means a little bit more to you today than it did yesterday because you were nominated for a board member position.
Yeah, very excited. Delegate at large, as they say, large and in charge. So it's great to be able to be part of it. I don't know what I'm signing up for, to be honest with you, with the executive committee. But we're going to find out, and I think you're paying special attention to this meeting because you're going to be running the meeting in Salt Lake City next year.
I am. It is true, and I think it'll be a little less rigorous than the Hand Society meeting was, but it's also different. So it's different people, broader constituency, meaning I need to find the right people to lead the right symposia. I think you're going to love it. There's great people in this organization.
Well, fantastic. And one thing I noticed is that the pace is very different. So there aren't, 18 different rooms running with different content, which will make your life a lot easier because you've got to do some pretty big symposia, but you don't have to program two or three rooms at the same time.
That's right. And there is intentionally, and I think all societies can learn from this, there's intentional downtime to allow networking and catching up. And as you and I have discussed, that's what made London so much fun. And that's why I've enjoyed Providence so far.
And time to record podcasts, for sure.
And times to record podcasts. Do you think, Chris, that your podcast legacy helped your nomination and election for the board?
I think it did. I think that's what they were paying attention to. In all honesty, I think they were very interested in a couple of things that I put in my statement. One of them was about embracing newer forms of education. So, in all honesty, I think the podcast helped with that, as well as I have particular interest in access to care. And I think that's something that the AOA is going to be tuning in and working on.
Perfect. I love it. I think you and I were both intrigued and honestly, in some ways, moved by the social media session at the IFSSH last week. And we were both participants talking about the podcast, but there were a lot of really interesting discussions and sessions that were news to me, honestly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was very interesting. I will say, I want to thank our listeners in Singapore who came up to us and gave us some nice gifts. My kids love Merly, the little merlion kind of thing that you guys brought. And now I will say, I did make a shameless plug for myself to join the faculty for their meeting, and I did receive a faculty invitation, so I'm super thrilled.
Oh my God, I was going to say, I don't think she bit, but apparently she bit.
Well, or I think the program chair for their meeting in Singapore next year is actually somebody who I knew when he was a resident, or when he was a fellow, when I was doing my residency in New York, so I think it worked out pretty well.
That is great. You know, one of the things that I learned was that these social media committees, or really what they're typically called, are communication committees, really are impactful. And FESH, the Federation of the European Society of Surgery of the Hand, has a pretty strong communications committee.
Yeah, they do. And they're all very engaged. I think that they embrace the technology. That entire session was being... that entire session was being live streamed on Instagram Live, which I didn't realize until somebody was just holding their camera or their phone up the entire time. So that was super interesting to see. But I think a lot of people have really embraced what social media can do. And I think that we saw a lot of the different ways in which social media and different educational formats have been used to, especially in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it was great. So why don't we run through some of those just to make our audience aware of other social media success stories and opportunities. And I'll maybe list them one by one, and then we can discuss each one briefly.
Sure. Well, we did give our talk, which, you know, probably was the highlight of the meeting for many.
Well, for you and I, for sure. We did lead it off, which I think was a position of honor. And no other podcasts were really discussed. The first non-podcast discussion was an online journal club. And this is the Journal of Hand Surgery European Journal Club. And Matt Brown and Christina Lapidi basically lead this effort where they pick one or two articles, invite the senior author to discuss the article online, which I think is a great format. And they had a nice discussion of that.
Yeah, no, they've done a really great job of, I think, taking, a traditional type practice of the journal club, but really bringing it to the next level with the technology. I mean, imagine if we, in our journal club at WashU, if we were able to talk to the authors for every article, that'd be great, you know? And I think that, they follow the principles for an effective journal club, which have been laid out in their publication. But really having an engaging moderator, is certainly going to help. So they've designated a moderator. They designate people to present individual papers, which are usually fellows from different training programs in the UK. And then they have the authors on. So I think that, you know, it's a wonderful marriage of, you know, old and new in terms of the concepts of discussing articles, discussing literature, but then also having the engagement from across the world.
Well said. And the only other newfangled journal club that I'm aware of is one that you and I participate in pretty much every month, not quite every month, is the Journal of Hand Surgery American, which is the Twitter Journal Club led by Brent Graham.
Yeah, and that's a very different type of journal club. I think it's interesting because it allows some pretty concise and spontaneous communication. The challenge, I think, with that is, just like with all these things, it's time zones, right? So, I mean, I think Brent's been pretty flexible in terms of, trying to have different sessions. And honestly, unless you use a specific app, it is a little bit tough to keep up with the conversation. But I think a lot of good thoughts have come out of that. And I will add, Matt, who gave the presentation, is an avid listener for the podcast. So Matt, thank you, for the opportunity, then when you asked me to speak in the other session, on how we train. And, I know that you're listening. So thanks for all your efforts with the JHS Journal Club.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is a great format. And I think, the pandemic offered numerous opportunities, and this seems to have been one of them that has stuck. The other is the Pulvertaft webinar. Excuse me. This was started by and led by Carlos Eras Palau, I hope I pronounced that correctly, who gave a pretty impassioned discussion of how this began, this webinar series with, quote, master hand surgeons around the world. And it's really taken off. I don't recall the viewership numbers, but it was impressive.
Yeah, the numbers are super high, and it's the funny story that he had about, you know, how he edits it on Monday nights, I think, and then posts it on Tuesday morning, and then if he falls asleep, if he falls asleep at the computer and doesn't post it the next morning, he gets emails from around the world saying, "Where is the journal club?"
Which is awesome. And the webinar is really starting to stand on its own. And so it's another example of you create a bit of traction and you get subscribers, so to speak, and they're going to want the content. And so if you do it right to start, you can really build something special, which I think they have.
Yeah. And one of the things I thought was super interesting was, how he talked about using YouTube, and using YouTube to really, you know, garner a ton of followers and a ton of viewers, which, you know, I think that if you're going to put the effort in to do a journal club like that once a month, or, you know, maybe it's once a week, but, you know, once in a period of time, if you can then leverage that, I think it grows your influence, because then you can work around the limitations of things like time zones.
Right. Well said. And the goal here is almost a digital textbook, as I think he said. And he doesn't do all the social media. And there's a very active social media presence around this webinar series. He admitted that he doesn't run that, but he's got the right people doing it.
Yeah, for sure. I know the Pulvertaft series is incredibly popular. We've had some of our trainees watch those, and I've watched a couple, and they're fantastic. And one of our partners, David Bergen, has actually given one of the sessions. So you make sure you guys go download that one.
Nice. So, yeah, you can find that on YouTube, Pulvertaft webinar series. So the next one didn't resonate as much with me simply because I have no interest in it. That's judgmental. I probably shouldn't say it like that. But it is the International Microsurgery Club, which is fascinating to me. It really was. Wasn't the most fascinating. We'll get to that later. But this is a semi-closed Facebook group with more than 17,000 members.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, how Facebook is obviously the most widely used social media platform. I think it crosses, it tends to skew towards an older demographic. But what they've done here is really taking advantage of, you know, the ability to just show a case and get a ton of opinions. I'm sure there are tons of patient privacy concerns that they have to work around, especially given the nature of some of these reconstructions, if they're doing head and neck, that kind of thing. But the group itself is remarkable. You know, David and I had a chance to be part of one of their live webinars, which was really, really fun to do, and just getting perspective from true leaders. They've done a great job of recruiting people that that give the webinars and also contribute to the Facebook to the Facebook group.
Yeah, and this is led by Tommy Chang. Again, Facebook is not dead. This is a excellent use of Facebook potential.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say that Tommy doesn't do it alone. One of my buddies, Johnny, who listens to the podcast and actually spent some time training with Susan McKinnon in St. Louis, and was one of my hosts when I went to Changgung, even before he came to St. Louis. So Johnny, you and Tommy keep up the good work. You're clearly making a big difference in how a lot of people receive education. And that brings me, actually brings me to the point that Carlos from Pulvertaft brought up. For some people, this is the only hand surgery education they get. So clearly opening doors and really broadening availability to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well said. And yeah, we are sort of having an embarrassment of opportunities to learn, but for others, it's really, really important. Speaking of which, you and I have spoken a lot about both the value of surgical videos and the challenge of creating good surgical videos. Dr. GK has 14,000 subscribers to his hand surgery YouTube channel. These are self-produced videos at least once a week, and he has some videos with more than 20,000 views. Really impressive.
Yeah, it is really impressive, and he went through very much an infomercial style about how he makes his videos. And, you know, honestly, videos are one of those things where we just don't do enough of. I think that, you know, I talked about in that session that, you know, when I was listening to a podcast actually on the way to the meeting, there's an NYU business professor that talked about, you know, one way to disproportionately grow your influence is to master, master new forms of media. And I think, you know, one example, you know, Dr. McKinnon is somebody who's incredibly influential and accomplished, but she really grew her influence by releasing those surgical videos and making them free. And I think that's one thing that, you know, we should really try to get more of our surgical videos out there just to supplement how our trainees learn. But then also our patients are looking up surgical videos, and our patients want more educational content too. So one of the things I'm going to try to be better about is at least doing some patient education videos so that we can use them. And I'm doing some really interesting stuff with there's a group out of Michigan that is Michigan State, I believe, that's using a virtual headset for VR that they play for patients during wide awake surgeries. And then you can actually include your patient instructions and education on there. Now, some would argue, why don't you just do that while you're doing the while you're doing the surgery? But there's something that they could at least view during the surgery. They could view it afterwards. They can even view it beforehand. It just makes the messaging so much easier.
Well said. And the business school professor you allude to is, I'm sure, Scott Galloway, who I'm a big fan of, and he has a lot of thoughts about a lot of different things, both on his podcast and his books that he's written. And I certainly believe that. Look, that's why you and I are doing a podcast in part, just exploring new media. for sharing our message.
Yep. Galloway is the master of the hot take. And, you know, I guess that leads us into some of the other presentations, you know, regarding more traditional, well, not traditional, but the newer forms of social media. We didn't have anybody talking about TikTok, but there were some folks that were talking about using things like Instagram to grow either your practice or to grow your individual presence.
Yeah. Marcela Rodriguez from Brazil was really impressive. She was there in person. She has 43,000 followers on Instagram.
Hey, the Wash U hand account just got to 1,000. So nice. Kudos to Lauren Wessel and Shovit and Jocelyn who really helped build that account up.
Yeah, 43,000 is a whole different level. And clearly, it's more patient-driven and patient-centric. I do follow her, although I'm having trouble with the language barrier. But it's really remarkably impressive.
Yeah. You know, Marcela talked a little bit about how she uses that platform. And it really was nice that she talked about how it started off as something that was supposed to be very educational. And, you know, she found that there was a big need and gap in terms of what was being provided. And, you know, it just really took off from there.
And then one other person I'd like to mention from kind of how they grew their practice was probably the most impactful talk that we heard. This was Nikolai Karpinski from Russia, who shared how he uses social media to have built his practice in Russia. And what was interesting is a couple of things. One, Russian citizens don't have, I guess let's go back a year. Russian citizens did not have a lot of access to medical education and opportunities to just search Google, for example, on different medical problems. And so he therefore created YouTube videos and different social media educational opportunities. He stated that one of his videos had over 2 million views on carpal tunnel. But what was most impactful was the fact that the impact of the war has essentially led to all social media content being cut off. And it was just really impactful how he shared that and how challenging the war has been from his perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting. So he didn't join live. He pre-recorded and sent over a video. And, he used some words, I think, like war, like you're not supposed to use if you're in Russia. And I'm wondering how he got that video out to the organizers in London. But I think he also, provided some very useful and sobering context to everything that we have going on, in the rest of the world.
Yeah. The one final, person who spoke was actually a registrar. So a trainee, Simon Fleming, who has over 40,000 followers on Twitter. And he, his angle, so to speak, is inclusion and diversity. And he is passionate about these topics and is very well spoken.
Yeah, so I actually think Simon listens to the podcast as well. So Simon, thank you for listening. And Simon's done some really incredible work in this space. He's got a great TED Talk up there, actually. And you can tell that he's a very polished presenter and clearly feels passionately about this. And Simon talked a lot about, bringing change from within the trainee pool and really questioning the establishment. Obviously, something that's very challenging to do given the power dynamics of being a trainee, and especially in something in a system like the National Health System in the UK.
Yes. And I think we should close by saying that Maria Esplugas, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Chuck, you're going to need to go to some pronunciation lessons, man.
I'm very handicapped in the language arts. Anyways, Maria was fantastic. She's very articulate. What was funny in the preparation for this session, she sent a lot of pre-recorded videos where it was really heart-to-heart. It was kind of a one-on-one conversation. She's very passionate about social media, and she put together a fantastic session, which I was happy to help moderate, and I learned a ton.
And she also sent a nice thank you video, which you don't always get. So I think, Chuck, maybe that should be something you take to the AOA meeting next year. I want you to record thank you videos for all of your moderators.
I think I might do it. Don't hold me to it in case anyone's listening who might be expecting one, but I think it's a good idea.
All right. Well, I had a great time in London. I was fortunate enough to go visit Mr. Tom Quick, a peripheral nerve surgeon in London, on an extra day that I had there as a part of my ASSH Gelberman Traveling Fellowship. It was really interesting to be on the inside of an NHS hospital and to see what their life is like. And he's got a fantastic collaboration with a physio there, Hazel Brown. Great team. Really, they were great hosts. And I even got to do a little walking tour of London, which was fun.
It was a fun trip for me as well. The camaraderie, the connections, the international connections, which obviously we have all missed, was really great. And while Providence is, you know, different, it's still been really enjoyable in its own right.
Are you jet lagged still?
No, I don't think I'm jet lagged anymore. Are you?
No, I tried to discipline myself not to get too used to the London time zone, but I can say I'm probably still tired.
Yes, I think getting back to the regular routine next week is actually something I'm looking forward to, although I may regret having said that.
So the day after I got back, I had clinic, and I only had one Zoom visit with a patient. And during this telemedicine visit, I think I was sitting down, and I had my head in my hands doing something, and the patient's mom looks at me, and she says, "You look tired."
And all you can say is...
You're right. You are right. Well, anyways, it was fun. Congratulations to you for moderating such a great session on social media at the IFSSH meeting. And yeah, I think we'll be back to have another chat soon.
All right. Excellent. Have a good day.
You too.
Hey, Chris, that was fun. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds good. Well, be sure to check us out on Twitter at Hand Podcast. Hey, Chuck, what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is at Congenital Hand. What about you?
Mine is at ChrisDMD, spelled D-Y. And if you'd like to email us, you can reach us at handpodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And be sure to leave a review. That helps us get the word out.
Special thanks to Peter Martin for the amazing music. And remember, keep the upper hand and come back next time.